turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 2, the book of Galatians, chapter 2. I'm giving you part 2 to the message that I began last Sunday morning. God willing, I'll finish this today, the good Lord willing. I have 3 series going. Actually, I just finished the 4th one, I guess you could say, but I've got 3 series going at any given time. One of them is an Old Testament book, and that right now is the book of Exodus. A New Testament book, which is the Gospel according to John, and a topical series. And our topical series that we've been studying together are the strongholds of life. Satan's strongholds that he tries to grab you and just hold you in bondage. And I began a message last week on that series, and we find it in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 2. The Bible says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." I want to preach to you on that one word, part 2 now. You can go back last Sunday and get the last one. On the word burdens. Burdens. And I wonder, in a crowd this size, how many burdens are under this roof? There are many, many burdens of life. And these burdens, if we're not careful, can become a stronghold. Something that holds you in bondage and keeps you away from what God has for your life. Now let's pray together, and I give you part 2 to this message. Father, we love you today. We thank you for the privilege to preach. Thank you for the privilege of having your word. And I pray that you help my heart to be clean. Help my heart to be right. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will be the preacher today. I pray that you help people. I need your help today. These precious people need your help. And would you do business with us as only you can? In Jesus' name, amen. A burden is defined as a load that loads you oppressively. It means something that troubles you, something that you carry around. It means a mental weight, something that you constantly think about, so to speak. It means something that's a concern or hardship that you go through. And may I say that burdens are common for human beings. We find ourselves off and on throughout life carrying a burden, an oppressive load, something that troubles us and weighs heavy on our minds. And these burdens can become a stronghold and cause us to stress that can be harmful to us physically and spiritually. It's been reported that stress has become an epidemic. The American Stress Institute reports that stress is responsible for 250 million lost work days every year. Additionally, 75 to 90% of all doctor visits are for stress-related complaints. It's estimated that American companies spend at least $300 billion annually due to stress-related accidents, absenteeism, and attrition as a result of workplace stress. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, more than 23 million Americans suffer from some form of anxiety disorder. The fact of the matter is we all have burdens to bear. Some are God-given. Some are self-inflicted. Let me explain. In Psalm 55:22, the Word of God says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." The word burdened in that verse in Psalm 55:22 means something that's given by God. Do you understand that when we like to get good gifts, profitable gifts, do you realize that every now and then one of the gifts that God gives to his children is the gift of burdens? We don't like them. But in the long run, those gifts can be some of the most precious things that you'll ever open and take advantage of. But on the flip side of that, we do have God-given burdens, something we don't choose for ourselves, something that's just placed in our lap, so to speak, something in God's sovereign plan he's chosen to give to us. Those are God-given burdens. But there's also what I call self-inflicted burdens, things that God never gave, things that we choose to pick up ourselves and God never told us to pick that weight up. Now, if these burdens are going to be handled right, those that are God-given and those who are self-inflicted, If they're not handled right, they're going to become heavier and heavier and heavier until finally we crush underneath its load. But if we handle burdens right, there is a place of rest and a place of peace in the midst of the burden. It all depends, and this is all introduction here, but it all depends on who's carrying the burden. If you carry it, it's going to tear you all to pieces. But if God carries it, there is peace in the midst of the storm. Now, while these principles that I'm giving today, I've already given you four. I'm just going to mention those that I gave last Sunday morning. I'm going to give you four more today, so there's a total of eight. All these principles that I'm going to give to you can apply to both kinds of burdens, those God gives and those that are self-inflicted. But for this purpose of this message, I'm speaking about burdens that God gives. The burdens that you are carrying, or maybe you're carrying today or will be carrying sometime in the future, that God in His sovereign plan chose to let you have that burden. It could be a physical sickness. It could be something along that line. You understand what I'm saying to you. A God-given burden, what are you to do with those? Because if you do not do these eight things, they will become a stronghold. And they will crush you. And may I say this to you, what I'm giving to you today, you can do this today, and that burden has its way of jumping back in your lap by the time you get home for dinner today. So these things I'm giving to you is not a one and be done. No, I wish it was that way, don't you? But it's not that way. It's called battling with your flesh. And I'm sad to say this, but we're going to battle our flesh until the Lord calls us home. And this being the case, let me give you eight things. Now, I've already given you four, so I'm just going to tap it on the head. I'm going to start with number five here momentarily. Eight things to do with God-given burdens. Number one, throw them on God. That's Psalm 55:22. That's understanding that you can't handle it, and that's understanding that He never gave it to you to handle. He wanted you to realize that you need Him, confess it to Him, and give it to Him. So throw it on God. Number two, talk to God about it. Get in the habit of talking to God about your burdens. That's Psalm 18:6, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Number three, turn to God's Word. This is all last week, so don't think 5 through 8 is going to go this quick here momentarily, okay? Number three, turn to God's Word. Go to God's Word during your time of storm, your time of burdens, and allow God to speak to your heart. And number four, last week we closed with this, tarry in the will of God. Don't let a burden cause you to stop in the things of God, but just keep going for the glory of God. Now, this is number five. Number one today, but number five if you're keeping message, keeping notes through from last week and following. This is easy to say, hard to do. Here it is, number five. It all starts with T. Here it is. Trust God. Just trust God. When you find yourself carrying a God-given burden that's hard to bear, this is a time to simply trust God and His sovereign plan for your life. See, even though we may not know the reason why God allows these burdens in our life, we know God is good. And we know that God is working for good in His children's lives. See, the Word of God teaches us in Romans 8:28, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." And this point here, just trust God, means this. You may not know where you're going. You may not understand the reason. But you do know that the God you serve is a good God. And the God you serve is not out to hurt you. He's out to help you. We must trust God. September 1st, 1939, London, England. Drizzling rain. Tearful goodbyes, fearful hearts. Operation Pied Piper, if you will, was underway. Back in that day, in just 3 days, London would transport 3.9 million children out of the city to protect them from the massive aerial assault of the German Air Force. Wealthier parents, when they were trying to get their children to safety, had been able to arrange specific destinations for their children because they had money, you see. Perhaps arranging for them to go be with relatives or acquaintances in other cities But most of these 3.9 million children were going to unknown homes and unknown destinations. Can you imagine that? The story's told of one young boy. He was one of the children that was going to be sent out for his own protection, but didn't know where he was going. And he stood on the train platform, squinting his eyes into the drizzling rain. And a passerby ventured to ask, do you know where you're going? And this boy said, no. But the king does. And may I say to you, on our good days, we would make an analogy from that young boy's statement to the sovereign wisdom of the king, our heavenly father. We would say, it doesn't matter where I'm going, I trust that my king knows, and that's enough. It's easy to say that on the good days, isn't it? But when we really don't know where we're going, and when our pain is intense and our path is obscure, and there's drizzling rain, and you don't really know where that train's going to lead, on those days, the king still does know where he's going. And sometimes he just wants us to take a seat and trust him. You ever ask the question, does he really know? Does he really care? Is he really planning to intervene? The point is when you don't understand and when you can't see his hand, just trust his heart. He has a perfect plan. And when you trust God, when you really trust God, sometimes that's a battle. You understand what I'm saying to you? Aren't there times when you're burdened and you're struggling with the trials and tribulations of life? Aren't there times when you have that peace and it's like everything's going to be okay? And then before you know it, you turn right around and you're thinking the worst again. During those times, you can trust God. You know, I sense today that the Holy Spirit of God has just sent a hush. I'm looking at people and thinking about people right now who are carrying heavy burdens. Heavy burdens. And I'm glad that even times of burdens, we can trust that we know who's driving the vehicle. And even though we can't see out the side, can't see out the back, can't see out the front, we don't even know where we're going, we trust the driver. Amen or not this morning, friends. We trust God because we know he's good and he has a plan. One Christian wrote to his family, Jesus is precious. His service is perfect freedom. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Joy and peace his people have indeed. What sort of person would you expect penned these words? Because this man had peace. By the way, when you trust God, that's where peace comes in. And this man said, Jesus is precious. His service is perfect freedom. His yoke is easy. His burden's light. Joy and peace his people have indeed. Some people would say, I'll tell you who said that. It was a successful businessman. Other people say, no, it was a young, newly married husband or maybe a seasoned pastor said that, no? Let me tell you who said that. The writer was a 21-year-old single missionary en route to China, the country in whose spiritual service he would eventually bury 7 children. 7 children this man buried. And he would bury 2 wives. The country where he would eventually assume responsibility of 850 fellow missionaries and 205 mission stations. And yet far from burdened, Hudson Taylor maintained to the end of his life the joy and freedom of spirit that comes when sharing Christ's yoke and his light burden. The title of his favorite hymn reflected the peace of his soul. You know what it was? Jesus, I am resting. resting. The fifth point today about this burdens, this stronghold that the devil tries to use to keep you down and burden you and bring you in bondage. One of the key points to this when you find yourself burdened is to trust God. The Word of God says in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. 2 Samuel 22:31, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. Psalm 56:3, here's a good one. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Psalm 62:8, trust in him at all times, ye people. Isaiah 50, verse 10, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord. Stay upon his God. Can I read that verse again? Listen to this. Who's among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? Here it is. That walketh in darkness, hath no light. You ever been going through something that's got you burdened so deeply and so strongly that, physically speaking, just to give an illustration, it's like somebody turned the lights out on you and you can't see your hand in front of your face and there's no light to be seen. And you wish you could just see one glimmer of light, one glimmer of hope. That verse says when you find yourself in that place, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I'm God. Every now and then, God will put his children in a place that you wish to God you could change it. Amen, Brother Stover. You wish to God that you could do something about it. But God has you there for a reason. He's given you that. Don't lose that. He's given you that as a gift. Why? So you and I can say, I can't do this. I give it to you, God. Lord, would you help me through it? Stay put in the will of God and be still and simply know that he is God. Number six, trust God. Number five, number six, easy to say this, good night, hard to do it. Here it is. Thank and praise God for it. That is a hard pill to swallow. When we realize the goodness of God and how he works in mysterious ways, God-given burdens of life, though hard, can be looked upon as a blessing in disguise. It no doubt takes faith to look at it this way, but it is the truth in the midst of the storm. One of the hardest things to do is what the Word of God commands in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It doesn't say for everything give thanks. It says in everything give thanks. That means whatever God has you in. It doesn't mean that you say, boy, I thank God I'm going through this. No. But in it, you can still thank God because you know he's good and you know he's going to help you. See, it's interesting that a woman named Ann Steele had encountered one trial and disappointment right after another. Her mother died when she was 3. When she was 19, she suffered a severe hip injury that left her an invalid. Eventually, she fell in love and was engaged to be married, but the day before the wedding, drowned. And later, that woman, that lady who had all that happen to her, here's what she wrote. Father, whate'er of earthly bliss thy sovereign will denies, accepted at thy throne of grace, let this petition rise. Give me a calm, a thankful heart. from every murmur free. The blessings of thy grace impart, and make me live to thee. You say, what's a Bible example of praising God when your life is in turmoil? It's a man by the name of Job. Let me read this to you. You can turn to it if you'd like. You don't have to, but it's Job chapter 1, verses 9 to 21. Here's what it says. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. This is the devil talking to the Lord. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. Can I paraphrase? You can do anything you want to him, but you save his life. Now, I'm not even going to attempt to explain this, okay? So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, and there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. So now his animals are gone. Yea, they've slain the servants with the edge of the sword. They've killed his servants. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. I mean, fire is falling from heaven. Somebody said, God did that. All these kind of things. And I'm only escaped alone to tell thee. By the way, was it God doing that? But God got blamed for it. While I was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters. By the way, I think it was bad enough on Job with these animals and servants, but now it's turning up a little bit hotter. Imagine getting this. Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. Behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they're all dead. He's lost his boys and his girls, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. By the way, you and I know what happened. Job didn't. Job wasn't aware of this meeting between the devil and the Lord. You and I are, but Job wasn't. All these things, his servants, his animals, his sons, his daughters. And here's the sixth point, thank and praise God in the midst of the burden. Then Job arose and rent his mantle. He tore his clothes, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground, and worshiped. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave. The Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can I say convicting? When your heart is burdened down with cares and it feels you cannot go on, by faith go to God. And it's okay to say, I don't understand. But I want to sincerely thank you and praise you for who you are in this. For what he's doing in the midst of the trial. In the midst of the burden. Because God is at work in your life. Diamonds are formed under great pressure and heat. If these conditions do not exist, they're simply not formed. It's not what they will be. It's not that they'll be low quality or smaller in size. They won't form at all. And God brings his refining fire into our lives to create in us what he sees fit. And when he sees our lack of character, he will bring into our lives what we need So next time a fiery trial comes, thank God. He is producing exactly what He knows you need in your life. And the only difference, get this, between a diamond and a piece of coal is pressure. Did you hear what I just said? The only thing that stands between a piece of coal and a diamond is pressure. The Word of God says in Hebrews 13:15, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Let me ask you a question. If God says continually, does that what He mean? Is that what He means? Yes? If He says continually, does that mean all the time? Yes. And does that mean times of burdens? Yes. Yes. That's number six. Thank and praise God for it. Number seven. Two more. Brethren, you're about to make it, okay? Two more. Number seven. What do you do with that burden? Here's number seven. Take up other people's burdens. Take up other people's burdens. This is our text, Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, bear you one another's burdens. In my opinion, one of the greatest things that you can do during times of God-given burdens is to find somebody else who's carrying a burden and help them carry that burden. Galatians 6, 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Who knows if the Lord may be allowing you to go through a particular burden so you can be a blessing to somebody else carrying a burden. If there was a man in the first century who knew pain, it was the Apostle Paul. He suffered deeply in every way as he served the Lord. Physically, he was beaten. He was imprisoned. He was shipwrecked. He was hungry. He was needy. He was exhausted. He was in constant peril for his life. That's 2 Corinthians 11:23-27. That's physically. Emotionally, he faced times of being perplexed, troubled, and cast down. That's 2 Corinthians 4:8-9. So physically, he's down. Emotionally, he's down. Spiritually, he carried the responsibility of the needs of the many churches that he labored to plant. 2 Corinthians 11:28. And even though he was burdened emotionally and physically and spiritually, as he wrote to the church at Corinth, he told them, we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired of life. That's what he said, 2 Corinthians 1:8. He said, I was being pressed so much out of measure and so far out of strength that I despaired of life. Lord, just take me home. And yet he found two blessings in his suffering. He found first that God's comfort was sufficient. And he found second that experiencing God's comfort made him better able to help others. Let me read it to you. 2 Corinthians 1:3-6. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Get this. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Do you understand what he's saying? He's saying, praise be to God, the Father of all mercies, who comforts us in everything that we might be able to comfort those who are in trouble themselves. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for our consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Here's what he's saying. God is allowing me to go through these things because he wants me to be a better minister to help those who have trouble in their own life. That's what Paul's saying. And this is the point, bear one another's burdens. Take up somebody else's burdens. It's amazing whenever you are burdened yourself and you start focusing on somebody else's burden, start helping them carrying it, how much lighter your own burden is at that moment. God's made it that way. The great joy of those in the service of the burden bearer, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, is to serve alongside of Christ, comforting hearts with the consolation of God. So what if we suffer first? We have the all-sufficient present tense grace of God Our afflictions become altars from which we can offer the sacrifice of praise, and our suffering becomes a vehicle by which we can minister God's grace to others. We receive comfort that we might give comfort. We learn the language of grace that we might speak the language of grace. We give our burdens to Christ that we might bear the burdens of others while pointing them to the burden bearer, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. I like what one man said. Listen to this. Somehow, in the wonder-working providence of God, our worst problems become our best pulpits. That's a powerful statement. When you're burdened, here's point number 7. Look for somebody else who's burdened and help them bear their burden. By the way, maybe God gave you a burden so that when you look at them, you can look at them and say, I understand. You take our cancer ministry, doing a fabulous job. Fabulous job. Those who serve in the cancer ministry have been touched by cancer. And I'll say this, I hope I never am. But I know if God chooses to give me that, He has a reason, He has a purpose. And there's something about somebody who can go into a room at Holston Valley Medical Center and give a cancer bag with the gospel track in it and look that person in the eye who has cancer and is sick and nauseous. It's something for somebody who goes in that room and says, I've been there. I understand. Do you understand? God is after a lost and dying world. And He wants people to turn to Him for salvation. And sometimes He will touch His children so they respond right to burdens. Because in their future, they're not even aware of it yet. In their future, there's a couple, there's a man, there's a woman, there's a family member who's going to be going through that same thing. And God wants you as His child to say, God helped me through that, and He wants to help you through it too. That's point 7. Point 8, and I'm done. Let me just say this, point 8. Let me take I'm done off that, okay? Point 8. The Lord led me to this last point. Last on purpose is what I'm saying. You think about burdens and what God gives and these trials of life. You throw them on God. You talk to God about them. You turn to God's word in it. You tarry in God's will. You just stay put. You trust God that He knows where He's going and what He's doing. You thank and praise God in the middle of it. Along with that, you take up other people's burdens. But here's how God led me. Here's point 8. Think about home. Just think about heaven. See, as we come to the final point of this message on burdens, the Lord led me to finish with this thought about heaven. One thing we can all rejoice about. Now listen to me now. No matter what you're carrying today, one thing we can rejoice, I'm talking to God's children now, those who've been born again. We can all rejoice that every burden we bear is only temporary. It will not last forever. This too will pass. The best is yet to come. Heaven will be worth it all. If you were to describe your trials and heartaches, what words would you use? They're heavy. They're permanent. Yet the Lord has a different scale and a different time period. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Take my burden upon you. For my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. You and I think our burdens are heavy and permanent, but the Lord has a different scale and timeline. He calls them lightened, but for a moment. He doesn't choose these words because He's callous to our pain. He isn't making light of our suffering, that it's only light. It's only but for a moment. That's direct quotes from Scripture, by the way. It's just but for a moment. He's not ignoring our needs and ignoring our pain. He's not making light of us. He's reminding us to view our burdens in light of eternity. compared to the weight of glory awaiting us in heaven, the weight of our present suffering's light. To a child, 100 pounds may be heavy, but weighed against a 100-ton loaded rail car, it won't even tip the scale. Compared to the length of eternity, the duration of pain is momentary. To a child, an hour may seem like forever, but calculated on a clock that counts millennia, it doesn't even move the hands. When God tells us that our affliction is short and light, He's reminding us to recalibrate our measurements to eternal scales. He's encouraging us to look past our immediate feelings and experiences and choose to see our pain through the eyes of faith. Paul made this choice in Romans 8:18 when he says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." See, through these words, the Lord parts the backstage curtain and allows us a glimpse into the stage of eternity. And what we endure today and pain associated with yoke bearing will be richly repaid in eternity. The benefits of the heaviness will endure today. I'm talking about that we endure today will be enjoyed for eternity. A word too large and too long for us to wrap our minds against. Hey, when you think about burdens, what do you think about? Sickness, death, heartache, trouble. Revelation 21:1-5, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Hey, there's been tears this week. Folks struggling. Some of you have probably shed tears. And maybe nobody on planet Earth knows. But you and God. God says God's going to wipe away all tears from their eyes. And look at this rundown. "And there shall be no more death." Can I get an amen right there, please? "Neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." Are you burdened today? I am not praying that God's going to take that burden completely away. That's not what I'm preaching. But I am preaching that even though you're carrying a heavy burden, God can help you. And God can carry you through. And at the very least, it can cause you to think a little bit more about home. Because there, those burdens are not welcome. And may God help us to keep our eyes on eternity. Burdens are universal. They come in different packages and can come at any moment. But when they do, remember what F.B. Meyer said. Here's what he said. "A bar of iron worth $2.50, when wrought into horseshoes, is worth $5. If it's made into needles, it's worth $175. If into penknife blades, it's worth $1,625. But if it's made into springs for watches, it's worth $125,000. And what a trial of fire that bar must undergo to be worth that much money. But the more it's manipulated, and the more it's hammered, and the more it passes through the heat, and the more it's beaten, and the more it's pounded, and the more it's polished, the greater its value. No wonder in 1 Peter 1:7, the Bible says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Somebody said, and I quote, "Life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you respond." And when the Lord gives a heavy burden, don't rebel against God, but respond right. Don't let it become a stronghold in your life, but take these 8 steps. Throw it on God.
talk to God about it. Turn to the Word of God and let Him give you peace. Tarry in God's will. Stay put. Don't quit. Trust God that He knows what He's doing. Thank and praise God in the middle of it. Take up other people's burdens and start thinking about your heavenly home. God will give you victory in this. May the Lord help you. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, take this thought and use it. May your will be done in our lives. Challenge us through the Word of God. We love you today. Thank you for loving us. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. This message today and last Sunday morning were written and were preached for the benefit of God's children. This that I'm giving you, these 8 steps of what to do with God-given burdens, can only help you if you are in the family of God. If you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, you have nobody to help you carry burdens. Nobody. But the great thing about God is that He's offering Himself to you today. And as they begin to play through softly, let me ask you a question. Do you know for sure that heaven is your home? Has there been a time in your life where you have said yes to Jesus Christ? That you have turned by faith from your sin and received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you know for sure that God is your God, Jesus is your Savior, you have placed your faith and trust in Him? You know that. You don't hope so. You don't think so. You know so. You are going to heaven and you know it. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? God bless you. Thank you. Isn't it good to be able to put your hands up to that question? You can put your hands down. Thank you. Is there one today say, Jody, I couldn't raise my hand to that, but I have a desire to. I could not raise my hand saying I'm a born-again Christian, but I sure, the next time somebody asks that question, I'd love to be able to throw my hand up with everybody else. Would you pray for me? Be happy to. Not going to come to your seat, not going to embarrass you, but I would like to know how to proceed. Is there one today say, Jody, pray for me. I need to be saved. Anybody like that, would you raise your hand? Anybody at all? I'm looking, my eyes are surfing. We're looking around this auditorium, myself. Let me ask you this question. How many of you say, Jody, I'm a Christian. I'm born again. But when you're preaching about burdens, there's no doubt God is speaking to me because I need this. There's a burden in my life. And let me say it this way. You believe it's a God-given burden. It's not something that you brought on yourself is what I'm saying. It's not something that you picked up alone. It's something that God has wrapped up as a gift and handed it to you. Have you believe you have a burden gift from God in your life right now? Would you raise your hand? You have a gift from God that's a burden. Yes. That's a lot of hands. A lot of hands. I want you to lower your hands, but I want, if you raised your hand, I want you to look at me right now. Would you do that? The reason I'm doing that is because there's a lot of you. I have one myself, and most of you know what that is. It's my baby girl. We don't know what the future holds. We've not even heard from the neurologist yet. But the fact of the matter is, God's been so precious through this to us. You know what the Lord has been dealing in my heart and my wife's heart about? Both of us. It's a question. You know what the question is? Do you trust me? That's the truth. It seems like what I'm reading, how I'm feeling impressed, my wife's writing a song on it. Do you trust me? You know what I'm glad of? I'm glad that even if we don't trust Him, He's still worthy to be trusted. He's doing something. What's He doing? I don't know. I don't want to try to figure it out. I don't want to try to give you false hope. All I'm saying today is that God is good. He makes no mistakes. And if He's given you a burden, He's given you a blessing. You may not see it now, but you will. It may be heaven before you see it, but you will. That's the God we serve. Here's what I want to invite you to do. I'm going to ask Brother Gary to begin to sing. And if you want to come today just to say, Lord, I believe this burden is from You. Help me follow this 8-point plan. Help me throw it on you. See, one of the things he wants you to come to is the point that you can't carry it, that you need him. Let's throw it on him. He wants you to just start talking to him about it. Turn to the Word of God and let God speak to your heart. Stay put in the will of God. Don't quit. If anything, do more. Trust him that he knows where he's going. Thank and praise him in it. Maybe not for that, but for him. You understand? Look for other people that you can help carry their load. Start thinking about heaven. Glory to God. As he sings, you come now. Would you do it? Come right now.
Have thine own way, Lord.
I need this. I need this.
Have thine own way.
I need to give my burdens to God. I need to lay them down at the feet of Jesus.
I am the clay. Hold me and make me.
There's time for you. Come on. Lay that burden down. Cast it on God. Thank God for it. If you need to be saved, now's your time. We will not tarry long. Just keep singing, Brother Gary. I believe God's working here. Just keep singing, please.
Have thine own way.
May the Lord help you to carry this
burden.
Carry the burden.
Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power,
surely. Singing, Brother Gary. May the Lord help you.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see. Christ only, always living in me. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Hold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
Let's bow for a word of prayer. Ask God to touch this and use it. Be back in God's house tonight at 6:30. If you're visiting with us, welcome to Buffalo Ridge. Please take your visitor's card to the Welcome Center. We'd like to give you a free gift. And God bless you for being here today. There's a young man coming. He's interested in joining the church. He's going to take the bylaws now and read them. And we're excited about that. God bless you. And praise the Lord for you. We're glad you're here. Amen. God bless you very much. Let me have Brother Steve Mullins, if you wouldn't mind, to close us in prayer, please.
Your voice.